Everyone loves football.
This is First and Ten. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to First and Ten, the show that is about all things football. But we do need to stop and congratulate the Washington Nationals, who have won the World Series. A big night here in Houston, Texas, from which we broadcast.
Yes, congratulations on their first World Series for that franchise.
I guess when I look at that team, I'm going to almost state the obvious, but I feel like every step of the way, they were underestimated.
Well, they were trailing 3-1 in a wild card game to the Brewers.
Well, I'm
in the eighth inning.
Yeah, but I'll even go back to their miserable start. I mean, they turned it around on about May 23rd. They turned the corner, then they performed very well. But remember at the trading deadline, there were whispers that they were sellers, that Scherzer could get traded. Even the Astros were looking at possibly picking up Scherzer. What a difference that would have made. But they turned it around, and yes, every series it seemed they were on the cusp of losing, and they were able to come here to Houston and get the back-to-back wins, Game 6 and 7. And what a strange series that the visiting team would win every game. Because I always think of Minute Maid Park here in Houston, Texas, as a real home court advantage. I mean, the team loves playing in that park. The fans are rabid. There's so much energy and excitement for those Astros. It's stunning that the Nationals were able to win four games at Minute Maid Park.
It was road field advantage. That's what this game was. It was stunning that the Astros went into Washington and took three in a row, all three.
Right.
I mean, wow. What
it is an inexact science.
But you know what is the best news of this? If you're a Houston Astros fan, just Google Bryce Harper this morning. It's just beautiful.
Yep. He went the wrong way.
He went the wrong way. And there's even a meme of, and he did. He said, my job is to bring a championship to this franchise.
To the Phillies.
You did. You just happened to be with the Phillies.
Right. By departing, he did.
It was great.
All right, in a minute, we're going to get a chance to visit with O.J. Anderson. You may remember he was that standout running back.
Gosh, he was a Super Bowl MVP. I remember him
with the Giants under Parcells. He is a legend, and he will be joining us, and we can talk to him about all things NFL. I want to ask him what he thinks of Adrian Peterson reaching a new milestone, becoming the number six overall rusher in history.
In front of his fans in Minnesota.
That's right. It'll be O.J. Anderson when we return. First and 10, SB Nation Radio.
First and 10 on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, First and 10 SB Nation Radio. And joining us now on the Progressive Insurance guest line is O.J. Anderson, former Super Bowl MVP with the Giants. O.J., welcome onto the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Good morning, David. Good morning, Carla. How are you guys?
Well, we're in Houston, so we're not as good as we could be, OJ, to be perfectly honest. But we're glad to have you on.
Yeah, I saw that game. Wow.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, it feels like all of Houston is, of course, sad and also tired because these games go late into the night, and it's been a long seven-game series.
Yes, it has. And if you're a big baseball fan, you definitely got your money worth of baseball this year.
That is the truth. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But we're on to football now because we've got a star on with us. Welcome in, OJ.
So, OJ, I'd love to ask you about the running back position. I mean, you played it so well for so long, really reached the peak with the Giants under Bill Parcells. The running back position today is different than it was in your day. Are you disappointed? Are you intrigued? What would it be like for you to play running back in today's NFL?
Wow, that's a question. Basically, I'm intrigued because the way they're actually using running backs, I guess because of what they're trying to do football-wise, making it more exciting, more wide open, where that you got a lot of points. So running back position has changed tremendously to almost where you are a receiver more than you are running back if you look at what's going on in the NFL. And then the fullback position is obsolete. You don't even see two backs in the backfield anymore. It used to be at least two fullbacks on a roster. Now you see one fullback, maybe a hybrid fullback, tiny type deal. So, would I love playing this game? Maybe a little different, but I would adjust like everything else.
We're talking to O.J. Anderson, former running back for the Giants and the St. Louis Cardinals. So Adrian Peterson this week hit a milestone. He passed up LaDainian Tomlinson and Jerome Bettis on the all-time rushing chart. Peterson now stands number six. How do you evaluate his career versus some of the other elites? I mean, he's now behind Curtis Martin, Frank Gore, Barry Sanders, Walter Payton, and, of course, Emmitt Smith, number one. Where does Peterson rank in your mind?
He's one of the young best running backs I've seen. Had he not got injured, he probably would have been a lot higher. But, as you get older, the wear and tear does take effect. But the fact that he's still doing it at his age, and I recall, 31, 32, when I won MVP of the Super Bowl, the oldest running back ever to do that. So I get it. I get the way the Redskins are using him, and I'm quite sure he feels that he could be doing more. But this is a young man's game, and eventually, he's going to have to part ways with that position. But so far, he's doing a superb job.
So speaking of young men, one of your New York Giant running back, Saquon Barkley, second pick in the draft, is in his second season. You watch him on Sundays, OJ, and you think what?
That he's going to be one of the up-and-coming best running backs that ever come through the stable of the Giants organization. He has potential to be one of the best running backs that played that position.
Yeah, you look at him stylistically. He's almost a little bit of a Barry Sanders. There's a little Walter Payton in him, too. He really has all the moves. He has speed, and he has some strength as well.
He does. He definitely showed that the last few games. But, this is an endurance game. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And he just has to learn how to take better care of himself. And, you don't last long getting hit a lot. And if he can avoid a lot of that inside running where he's getting tattooed quite a bit, I think his longevity of the game will be a lot longer for him if he can just, understand that you can't always cut back behind the line of scrimmage. Sometimes you got to stay play side and force it play side, and he'll do well. He'll learn. I mean, second year, we all went through that because growing pains, and he'll get better with it.
OJ, so you play for one of the all-time greats. You're a two-time Super Bowl champ, Super Bowl MVP for Bill Parcells. What was he like as a coach, and what are some things that he taught you that you will never forget?
Well, Bill challenged us to be the best you can be. He taught us how to be men first, and that when you perform on that field, you give your all. You leave nothing there. When you come off the field, you have exhausted yourself because you have given your teammates everything you had. A true competitor to the end.
We're talking to O.J. Anderson, former NFL running back. Let's talk about your college team. University of Miami stands 4-4, not at the heights they used to be. What's it going to take to get Miami back on track?
I think we got a good first of all, and it just takes time. We're a young team, and we're making mistakes just like the young team was making. The team just got better players right now, but with Diaz, we're doing good. He's doing a great job of recruiting, and that's what it's all about. It's keeping guys from the state of Florida in Florida to play for Miami, and you start seeing this come back. That's sign of the U returning, and it's a growing process, just like the Giants, a growing process. When you rebuilding, this is what you subject yourself to is these kind of games, these kind of losses, and the back and forth with quarterback changes until you find the one that really give you a chance, the best opportunity to win. So that's where we are.
So, OJ, is it fair to say that you're happy with Manny Diaz in Miami? You think he is the guy that can then bring them to the next level?
Well, let me just put it this way. They think he is, and that's most important. It has nothing to do with what I think or any of my comrades think. It's what the university think and what those players believe.
No, you're so right. And what about your New York football Giants? They've got Daniel Jones. Eli Manning's on the bench. Obviously, they're having some struggles, but they too are a young team. Do you feel like they're moving in the right direction with Pat Shurmur and with Daniel Jones under center?
That goes back to that answer I gave you. They think that the organization thinks that Pat and Daniel are the two nucleus of that team that's going to turn it around and catapult us into future wins. That's what matters. You know, we are armchair quarterbacks, Monday morning quarterbacks.
Sure.
Second guess everything that we see because of what we hear on television. Some of us who play the game, what we see, what we think should be better. But we know that when we played the game, people were the same way. It's what the organization, it's what the clubhouse and those players in the clubhouse. Parcells always told us that your family is in here. Everything outside is not your family. So they're all going to have opinions, and opinions are like buttholes. Everybody has one.
Right. So, well, there's that. Yeah. We will not think about that visual, but that is very true.
I may use that someday.
Oh, my yeah. goodness. I might have to pull that one out. That is really funny. Okay, OJ, what's that?
Somebody's visual.
That it is early in the morning for that, but I really appreciate it. So, OJ, you're Offensive Rookie of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year, two-time Super Bowl champ, Super Bowl MVP, two-time Pro Bowler. What do these mean to you, and which one meant the most to you?
Well, I mean,
that's quite a list.
Yeah, I think Rookie of the Year because nobody expected me to have the kind of season that I had, rushing 1,500 yards and just completely changing the rushing record that was set by Earl Campbell the year before, which put me in a great class by itself. And then, you know, being voted a two-time Pro Bowler where I was a starter against guys like Walter Payton, Tony Dorsett, Wilbur Montgomery, Chuck Munson. These were the guys that I was competing with every week in and week out. And John Riggins were the guys that I competed with every week. And to be named starter as a rookie twice in my first two seasons of football was exciting. And I felt real, real good about where my future was going. And hopefully with everything you just said, would let people know that I should be a freaking Hall of Famer.
That's yes, no you should. I agree. You've got to be in the hall.
You would think, right? You would think, right?
You're probably just too young.
Statistically,
you know. Hey, listen, Carla, I would like to go in there before I'm too old.
I agree. Well, we're going to make a push for you here on First and Ten. There's no doubt you need to be in that hall. That list took up half my page writing that. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, we're going to give him the official designation, the preferred Hall of Fame vote for the First and Ten listeners right here.
Absolutely.
OJ Anderson. OJ, you're the best. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
I appreciate you guys and have a good morning.
You too.
When we come back, we will take a look at the NFL trade deadline, winners and losers, who did well and who did not fare well, when we return here on First and Ten SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to First and Ten on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Carla, when you drive, you want to have perfect visibility. Go to O'Reilly Auto Parts, get new blades. They will take care of you. You will live well. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
You know who's not living well? This Ghostbusters theme makes me really sad for Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold, that's right. Halloween's a tough night for him.
Ron, I can't believe you did that to me, my former alma mater quarterback.
Yeah, he's seeing ghosts. And if not tonight, I mean, this is it.
Did you see the Jacksonville mascot last weekend?
That was brilliant.
That was not brilliant.
Putting that ghost to hover over the whole area?
Well,
yes.
And the mascot had a sheet, was wearing a sheet.
Yeah, it's ghost time.
But at least Sam Darnold had a good game. Oh, yeah, no, he didn't.
No, he did not. He is struggling.
Yeah. Wow.
Bottom three quarterbacks in the NFL right now, Darnold, Rosen, and Mayfield. Ouch. I mean, those guys all had pedigree coming in.
That's not good company you want to keep. But in Darnold's defense, the guy got mono.
Yep.
Had a toenail removed and now has sprained his left thumb. So I'd be seeing ghosts too, maybe at this
point. All right.
He's a bit banged up.
Well, let's talk winners and losers at the trading deadline. And the Jets, to me, are one of the losers. Sam Darnold's Jets, because, well,
Jets losers? That's so unusual.
I think they should have acted more like a seller, traded away some talent, accumulated draft picks. Now, you don't want to trade away young talent, but the whole debacle here.
Oh, my goodness.
With Jamal Adams is not what you wanted to have coming out of the trade deadline. And, of course, he's upset that his general manager, Joe Douglas, took the call and considered trading him. But every general manager has a job to take the call.
Well, here is what it is. It's the business of football.
Yeah.
Football is, bottom line, a business. And I'm not sure. I don't think Joe Douglas was shopping him. But you've got to take the call. And when you're in a position where the Jets are at 1-6 right now, halfway through the season, you need to think about moving big pieces. That's a luxury to have a safety like that on their team. But what they could get in return might have been great for the Jets.
Yeah, if they'd gotten a bounty, you'd have to respect the decision to trade him.
Jamal Adams,
he was a top 10 pick. He's played very well. And the whispers were that the Cowboys were willing to give up their first-round pick and perhaps a later pick, like a sixth-round pick, to trade for him. And, I mean, that would have been a late first-rounder. So then, in a sense, the Jets would have drafted somebody in the top 10 and picked up a late first-round to trade him away. I'm not sure that would have been a great move for them, but I do respect Joe Douglas taking the call. Interestingly, today, Jamal Adams came out and said, yeah, but the Patriots don't take the call when people call about Tom Brady.
Well, or the Rams with Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
That was the other.
Here's the thing. Jamal Adams is not yet in that league.
And he did clarify later. He was just using that as an example. But also, it was noted a few weeks ago that he removed the New York Jets status on his social media.
Right.
So that's kind of interesting, too. I mean,
given the appearance that he was unhappy to be there.
Yes. Well, good news for wide receivers. I don't think any longer, aside from AB, who is no longer in the league, they are not the divas of the NFL. If you look at the safety cornerback positions.
No.
I mean, look at Jamal Adams. We had Jalen Ramsey, who's very happy and moved, and that's great. You know, Josh Norman out of Washington.
Sure.
They chirp.
They
are in a very tough and very necessary position to be successful.
Okay, other losers to me at the trading deadline. The Eagles did nothing to improve their secondary, and that is a renowned problem, but they were unable to find somebody for the right price.
Well, do you think they got some false hope with their win last weekend? That's what I'm wondering.
Well, maybe. But they have been
but
up
they won
and
over
down.
Buffalo.
I mean, they had a great win over the Packers. They had a great win over Buffalo last week. Of course, the Cowboys were in between there, a debacle there. That is one of those teams. I mean, they are probably slightly above average. And if they don't bring their A game in any given week, they can easily lose. They're going to hover around 500. That team, I think it'll all come down to whether they can win the NFC East, whether they can win when the Cowboys come to Philadelphia, split with the Cowboys, and then get in on a tiebreaker.
Right. They're half a game back of Dallas right now at the NFC East.
They're right in that NFC East. So I would have thought they would have gone out and found a new piece to their secondary. Here's another loser, the Browns. The Cleveland Browns did nothing to improve their offensive line. That is the core of their problem. They've got a lot of flashy showmanship guys.
They've got a lot of talent.
But they're not built from the inside out.
No, and you know, Baker has happy feet. The guy can't stand still. And he's got happy feet because no one's protecting him.
Yep.
So that was a little bit crazy. I was thinking, and I had said on our Monday night show, Boston Gloss, that they should take a look at Trent Williams because he was all of a sudden Washington was willing to trade him. But it looks like he will be staying, and the Browns are no better than they were last week.
Yeah, that was an obvious trade.
Which is 2-5 and last place in their division.
Right. No, Williams to the Browns would have made a lot of sense. I guess if I were the Redskins, I guess what I'm thinking is I'm going to start playing my new young rookie quarterback, Dwayne Haskins, and I need to protect him. I need to enable him to be successful. Now, Trent Williams has now shown up, and he did not pass the physical. So
it's shocking.
He hasn't played in a while. It may be some time before they can actually get contribution from him. But the Redskins keep Williams. That surprised me. A.J. Green will remain in Cincinnati.
Poor A.J. Green.
I mean, he's going to spend his whole career with that team. Oh. I mean, that is a great player on an historically bad team. A team that just never goes anywhere. 0-6 now. I know they've made the playoffs in his era.
I mean, how bad do you have to get?
Right.
Oh, boy.
So I see all those teams as really not coming out of the trading deadline well. On the positive side...
Yeah, let's have some good news.
Have some good news. I mean, I think the Patriots did well to get Mohamed Sanu. I think he's a perfect fit for Brady's offense.
And they really needed to get better.
Well, they needed it. Okay, so they did need a receiver. They addressed a need. They still have needs on that offensive line. They've
lost. It's kind of like, I need a new pair of shoes. I don't really need it, but what a luxury and how fun. Patriots need nothing. I'm giving you a girl reference today because...
Well, looking at the shoes on your feet, I'll go with it.
Well, there we go. It's all about the shoes.
Fair enough. All right, I'm going to give a little bit of props to, believe it or not, the Miami Dolphins. I think they recognized who they were. They traded away every good player they had.
Well, they recognized who they weren't.
Yes.
And now it's a contender.
So the great thing is they have now accumulated what might be an historic haul of draft picks. I mean, they are likely to finish with the number one or number two pick this year. And you add that to all the other picks when you trade away Tunsil, Kenyon Drake.
Kenny Stills,
all these guys.
Minka Fitzpatrick.
And they got a fifth round. I mean, they are on their way to having a historic number of picks. They can really do a rebuild the right way.
But they're going to have a Raider-esque. They are set up for a Raider-type draft, which was basically every three or four picks. They had something in the first round. It was pretty exciting.
Right.
So, I agree with you. I think Miami... Credit Brian Flores. Credit what they're doing. They realize not only who they are, but who they aren't. And they are setting themselves up for next year. And, they held with the Steelers. They were ahead in the first half of Monday Night Football. And then they realized at the halftime, guys, don't forget, we're the Miami Dolphins. Oh, yeah. We'll get blanked in the second half and lose.
We're supposed to. We're tanking for Tua.
Right.
That was the best thing they did last week. Never mind the trades.
They did not
win. They cannot win. They should not win. I'm also going to give the Cowboys some credit for picking up Bennett. I think that Michael Bennett is a good pickup for them. They can slide him into that rotation. They've shown some weakness at the defensive tackle spot, and Bennett can play there. He'll be both a good run stopper and apply some pressure on the quarterback. And when you look at there now, their big three horses rushing the passer, DeMarcus Lawrence, Robert Quinn, and Michael Bennett, they have the best defensive front that they've had in a long, long time in Dallas.
I agree with you. And I also think that is a luxury. But good for Dallas to go ahead and do that. And I think New England was kind of tired of his antics.
So yeah, they were tired of his antics. And there were whispers that he didn't really fit in what they're doing scheme-wise. Chris Richards, the defensive coach over at the Cowboys, was with Bennett in Seattle, knows him well, knows his antics well, knows his personality well. And I think he felt that he could bring Michael Bennett in and have Bennett be an immediate contributor for the Cowboys defense.
Well, that is a great pickup for Dallas.
So let's talk Thursday night football, the matchup, the 49ers versus the Cardinals. And I saw this headline as we were coming in, is this an upset trap for the 49ers?
I mean,
I don't think so. I mean, the 49ers
come in. Does anything give you any indication that this would be an upset? I think that's kind of funny.
No. 49ers are looking, well, their defense looks like an historically good defense. And their offense is coming around. They're starting to run the ball pretty well. Obviously, Jimmy G is rounding into form after his year off with injury. I really think all those pieces are coming together. 49ers, one of the two or three elite teams in the NFC now.
Absolutely. Only undefeated. And the only undefeated team in the NFL, besides the Patriots, and the only undefeated team in the NFC. I mean, they are the real deal. And, credit Kyle Shanahan. He is a brilliant play caller. He is very creative. And... it showed last week in that beatdown of Carolina where they put up 51 points. And then you had what I love to call doing the Bossa Nova. Joey Bosa. I was going to say
the Bossa Nova.
Oh, my gosh. Nick Bosa. I'm saying the wrong thing.
Yeah, you got Nick and...
Nick, the brother, the little brother showing up the big brother. 7 sacks in 7 games.
That's the Bossa Nova.
Nice. That's the Bossa Nova.
All right. When we come back, we'll break down the other games coming up this weekend. You're listening to First and 10 SB Nation Radio.
This is First and 10 on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, First and 10, where we consider all things football. And there are some good matchups in the NFL this weekend. I'm looking forward to that Patriots-Ravens matchup. I mean, the Ravens are coming in at 5-2. Patriots, of course, 8-0. The Ravens with the, I guess, the best tied for the best record in the AFC for second behind the Patriots. I think with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens defense, this will be the best test. That may be saying this is like the fastest turtle, because the Patriots have not faced much of competition at all this year. Their schedule has been a cupcake schedule thus far.
Oh my gosh, it's been ridiculous. And that's the division they're in. But the next five opponents have a record of 500 or better, starting with the Baltimore Ravens. So this will be more of the truth serum. Am I worried about the Patriots? No. Not at all. I mean, their defense has produced 18 interceptions already on the season.
Yeah, it's an amazing stat, and they've only given up about 7 points a game. So they are fire defensively.
That's more than at least double any other team's total, the 18 interceptions so far.
Okay, but the risk, the red flag for the Patriots is their running game. On the offensive side of the ball, they have not run the ball well. In fact, their yards per carry are about 3.2 yards per play. And that is so low. It is bottom three teams in the NFL today. And there's only been one team who's ever made the Super Bowl with that bad of a statistic. That's the fix that Belichick has to address.
Or does he? Or is this now the new trend? Because they're sitting at 8-0, and he's saying, excuse me, what needs to be fixed?
Well, they have the great offensive lineman coach, right? Nick Scarnecchia.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
He went into the chemistry factory that he does, and he's been looking at their offensive linemen and coming up with some blocking schemes. This will be the real focus of the Patriots offense the next few weeks to get that running game on track.
Well, and they just might need to. They've got some opponents that are actually above 500 coming up. So,
and they think they're going to get Isaiah Wynn back at the left tackle spot. That would be a great addition.
Has he ever been on the field since he's been drafted?
Well, he's really been struggling. That's right. He missed his whole rookie season, and now he's about to come in and get to play. But he was a first-round pick out of Georgia, somebody they were counting on to become the left tackle. Mm-hmm. He'll get his chance very shortly. Now, on the Ravens side of the ball, Lamar Jackson, I think, has exceeded everybody's expectations.
Yes.
It's interesting. It wasn't that long ago, just a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, he was saying, I don't want to run the ball. I want to pass the ball, which I thought was a great sign of maturity. It shows, or showed, that he wanted to step in and be a NFL quarterback, not a college quarterback. However, he's been running the ball a great deal the last few weeks.
And running it with great success. So there's no reason he shouldn't be. I mean, that adds another dimension. It's dual threat. He is fast, he is shifty, and he is successful. He's got the Ravens on a nice roll.
All right, the other big matchup that I'm really excited about, Minnesota and Kansas
City.
Oh,
that's going to be great.
That's a marquee matchup. Vikings are back on track. Obviously, we've seen a very different Kirk Cousins in the last month than we did at the beginning of the year. They are hitting on all cylinders, and Dalvin Cook looks like he might be the top, or maybe top two or three running back in the NFL right now.
No, absolutely. And it's so funny. Just the talk of Kirk Cousins, like, you know, crazy to give him the $84 million fully guaranteed contract. Now he's playing up to every penny of it.
Yep.
The last three games have been outstanding. He's silencing his doubters.
You almost wonder, what was it that turned him around? What was the light bulb that went off?
Maybe it was being called out by Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, wink, wink.
Yeah, I think some of that calling out also was directed at their head coach,
yes,
Mike Zimmer, who has a bias for conservative offense. Mm-hmm. And I think they were saying, no, we've got the pieces here to open it up. And maybe Zimmer was saying to Cousins, I want you to play it conservatively. When in doubt, throw it out. Don't throw it into coverage. And I think given the people they have, given the potential of that offense, I mean, they're skill position players. If Cousins is playing well, their skill position players are as good as nearly anybody in the whole NFL.
No, it's so true. And, you know, we talk about Cousins, obviously, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook. You know, there's a defensive end on Minnesota, Danielle Hunter. He's only 25 years old and already has 48 career sacks.
Amazing.
So these are this team could really, if this continues, be a legit Super Bowl threat, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. No, the Cousins are on it. I mean, the Cousins and the Vikings, if you get the good Cousins.
The good Cousins. I like that.
Then I think you've got a team that is in the top four in the NFC for sure.
Sure. So what do you think the Chiefs are going to look like this year? How do you feel about Matt Moore after last week?
Well, I think Matt Moore did well. I don't think that's sustainable level of play for him. So, yeah, they're going to bide their time until Mahomes returns. And obviously, with the ceiling with Mahomes is still a Super Bowl. I mean, at this point, obviously, you'd have to say, no, the Patriots are the better team in the AFC. But if Mahomes comes back and the Chiefs can find a way to shore up their defense, yes, he will, then, and he might even play this week. So, yes, the Chiefs will be fine.
They will be fine. And what I think I want to give Matt Moore some credit for is that, you know, Andy Reid did not need to simplify his game plan without Mahomes on the field, which is impressive because Matt Moore hadn't taken an NFL, you know, hadn't had an NFL start in 2 years, the last played in 2017. So he did a great job. I think that was a nice surprise. You know, he had 24 of 36, 270 yards, two touchdowns, and zero turnovers. His QBR was a 107 last week against Green Bay. So, you know, not bad. If they can't get Mahomes this week, and I don't know what the status of that is at this point, Matt Moore's a great option.
So let's go to London. Are you ready to go with me?
I would love to. Let's do it.
We got a big matchup, Houston Texans, Jacksonville Jaguars. The first time they played earlier in this year was a nail-biting win for the Texans.
It was their first win of the season.
The Jaguars went for the win. Fournette reached out, and he was about a half inch, if not, over the goal line for what would have been the game-winning score for the Jaguars.
Well, we're going to need a fully healthy Deshaun Watson. And his left eye, he was supposed to throw out the first pitch last night at Game 7 of the World Series, but some setbacks with the left eye, and he's resting it in the dark so that he can be ready for London. But as we see, Deshaun doesn't really even need two eyes fully open to make touchdown passes into the end zone. He's being tackled, oh my goodness, Houdini Watson here for the Texans. We need him healthy.
Well, the Texans offense is really going to have to raise their play to a hundred level. Look, there's been a lot of investment, obviously, in the offensive line. They've got a great receiving core, and Deshaun is Deshaun. But with J.J. Watt out, the offense is going to have to pick up the slack.
Yeah, they really are. And what I think is going to be interesting to watch is in the Houston defense, Whitney Mercilus is having a career year, best ever. And he, weirdly, has come back from a torn pectoral muscle, which is what J.J. Watt just suffered season ending. Can he keep up this production minus J.J. Watt?
Yeah.
That's what we need to look for. And also, I think, you know, Texans receiver Kiki Kuti, who caught
a touchdown pass.
Yes.
Love that name.
Ever, isn't it?
And I love it when you say it to me that way.
It's too early for this, really. We just got to table this right now. But he caught a touchdown pass two weeks ago. Beautiful touchdown pass. And he is very great, great elusive receiver. He did not take a single snap in the game against Oakland. And I looked. He was not on the injured list. So Bill O'Brien had this to say. Well, there really wasn't any reason other than me doing a better job of getting him in the game. Have we ever heard Bill O'Brien say, wow, I need to do a better job? How can you forget about one of your top receivers when you have Will Fuller sitting in the sidelines? You've got a successful guy who scores for you. It was a tight game against Oakland. I'm scratching my head.
I have no answers for you. Gardner Minshew has an answer at the quarterback position for the Jaguars.
Yes, he does.
Your mustachioed friend is really still doing well. You called him out early. You saw the greatness.
He's also the jockstrapio friend.
You like your jockstrap and the mustache with him. But he has exceeded everybody's expectations. And I think he might be the real deal in Jacksonville, which really calls into question what would happen to Nick Foles. I mean, they've got a really interesting question in the offseason because they've got two quarterbacks now who I think can start at the NFL level.
But, you know, as we've seen this year, I don't know how many backups were on rosters in week two.
Yep.
It is, you know, the situation in New Orleans is another prime one, as well as Jacksonville this year, as well as the Philadelphia Eagles 2 years ago.
Yep.
It is almost essential in today's NFL with mobile quarterbacks. You've got to have a backup who basically could be a starter. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is the highest paid backup in the NFL at $7.25 million a year. and he's worth every penny. Look what he did. He wasn't just a placeholder. They were amazing. They went 5-0 with Breeze gone. And now Breeze steps right back in, and here we go. Nick Foles, you know, we don't need to talk about it. Everyone knows he won the Super Bowl for them in Philadelphia when Wentz went down. So I think if I'm Jacksonville, if I have that luxury, I'm keeping both Foles and Minshew.
Well, they certainly have the luxury for the rest of this year. They'll have a decision to make as Foles returns to form. He's coming back in a couple of weeks. But I think they're riding high with Gardner Minshew. I think Foles has to slide in as a backup for the rest of this year.
Wow. I don't know. I'm not ready to go there yet.
So one quarterback who's making a lot of headlines for all the wrong reasons.
Oh, it was shocking.
Baker Mayfield is back in the news, storming off of the press. This is just not a good look for him. Everything is unraveled in Cleveland. The only thing I can see positive about Cleveland right now is they're going to play Denver this week. They're playing a two-win team in Denver, and that may be the thing that rights the ship in Cleveland. They've got a very soft schedule over the next few weeks. They really need to turn it around ASAP.
Well, they have a lot of talent in Cleveland, not a lot of maturity. And that's, I mean, we're talking about Baker Mayfield every week, and it's not for his play on the field. It's for the fact that they are in the weakest division in the NFL, and they are in last place. He is struggling. He cannot get comfortable in the pocket. Whether pressure is coming or not, the guy is moving. And then you've got OBJ, you've got Jarvis Landry. They're Pro Bowl wide receivers, and they disappear.
Let's hear what Mayfield said at this press conference, because I think this just shows his immaturity. These were not odd questions.
The penalty happened and we're the behind
clock's the chains. Running.
No, stop saying but. I just told you the clock was running and we had a penalty. You want to give them the ball back? No, you don't play. You don't know it. That's just plain and simple.
Were you happy with that drive?
Was I happy with the drive? No, we didn't score points. It's the dumbest question you could ask. What?
So my big point here is you look at, that's just immature to me. He didn't need to go there. Let's compare him to Deshaun Watson a few weeks ago, and here's the analogous situation. After a tough loss, having to face the media, being peppered with questions, recall Deshaun...
after the Carolina loss.
Yes, Deshaun Watson was asked, why weren't you able to get the ball downfield more to your receivers? And you could see Deshaun Watson, he was frustrated with the question. He was frustrated that he had not been able to get the ball downfield to his receivers.
Did you see the defense properly or whatever?
Right. Did you see what was going on? And so you could see Deshaun, he looked a little frustrated, but he took a deep breath. And then he said, well, do you know what defense we're running? And of course, the reporter really didn't know. But then Deshaun walked him through. Look, this is the way they were lined. When they take these receivers off the field or out of the play, I have to read down this way. Check down over here, do this. And he walked that reporter through what he knew. And it was so impressive. And then you compare that to Baker Mayfield, and the disparity couldn't be more pronounced. Right now, you have in Deshaun, in fact, in that press conference, his explanation and the way he handled it went viral. People were so impressed the way he explained everything and showed his intelligence and showed his maturity. Baker's at the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah, that's a great juxtaposition, and it all comes down to the M word. Maturity.
Right.
Deshaun Watson, you know, because of life circumstances and then being able to be under Dabo Sweeney, he is so mature and he comports himself with great composure. And then you've got Baker Mayfield at the, completely the other end of the spectrum. And, you know, it's he's got Baker Mayfield does have a history with that reporter who asked the question. So but the question wasn't even fully out of the guy's mouth and he was already bantering with him. And it was a fair question, honestly. I mean, it's Wednesday. It's 3 days past your terrible loss in which you, Baker Mayfield, have 6 touchdowns to 12 interceptions, playing in the weakest division, and you're in last place. You are going to have tough questions. It's on you. And Freddie.
When we come back, we'll get a chance to look at one more game. It'll be Chicago and Philadelphia. We'll break that one down when we return here on First and Ten.
I put a spell on you. And now you're mine. You can't stop the things I do. I ain't lying.
You're listening to First and Ten on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
See how nice to have a Halloween special edition of First and Ten.
And do you know what they're saying? I put a spell on you, so just be nice. You don't want it. You don't want that to come out.
Ron, let's be clear. Carla put a spell on both of us long ago.
Long ago.
She's had a spell on us for years.
You knew it when I rode the broom in here this morning, didn't you?
That and all the candy you brought in. But you're not going to eat all of those. I mean, 12. You should stop with those Reese's Pieces.
I could say I really only brought in eye candy, but I'm going to leave that alone.
Oh! No, there it is.
She's an enchanting enchantress.
She's an enchanting enchantress. Well, now, on Monday nights, we do a show, and it has a slightly different name. It's called The Boss and the Gloss, I being the boss and you the gloss.
On most weeks.
Sometimes it flips. Sometimes it flips. You can get awfully bossy with me.
That's true.
I don't know how I live up to the gloss label very well.
Well, I won't say that on air.
But we're first and 10 in these mornings, Monday nights, 7 to 9 Central, The Boss and the Gloss. Be sure to tune into that. And I will tell you, though, this morning, you came in looking pretty glossy. Have you dressed up as the gloss? Is that your Halloween costume?
I live in my Halloween costume. It's a 24/7.
Duly noted.
There we go.
All right. We look great. Your final pick for Thursday night.
I've got the Bossa Nova taking it down.
Yeah, you're not on a limb there.
I am not. I don't have faith in the Cardinals. I'm going for San Francisco.
Yeah, I think the Niners are going to win big, and it's going to be a tough night for Kyler Murray against a tough 49er defense. First and 10 in the books. Thank you for listening to SB Nation Radio.